Today, scripture reading is Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30 to 32. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30 to 32. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgression which you have committed, and make yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and leave. Today's title is Turn Back on Yourself and Leave. Turn back on yourself and leave. Today, God cries out in love to the people of Israel who are running down the road to destruction by sinning before Him. He is urging you to repent, to turn from your sins, and to leave. Even if you have been living in sin, He is telling you to repent, throw away your sins, and live with a new heart and a new spirit. He is urging you to return to God, saying, if you persist in your stubbornness, you will die. But will you continue to run down that road? God does not delight in the death of the weak, but rather in them turning back and living a blessed life in a right relationship with Him. Therefore, He pleads with us to stop our step and not continue down the path of death, urging us to turn away from evil. In the scripture is that today, the Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and leave. God's love for us is never-ending, and He's telling us to understand His heart, as He does not stay angry with those who return to Him with repentance, even in their pitiful state. Even when He punished, He quickly relents. In Scripture, Joel chapter 2, verse 13, God said, now return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. God is not pleased to see anyone die in judgment, even if they have committed a sin and deserve to die before Him. He asks, why do you want to plunge yourself into eternal punishment, into eternal death, and appears to you that there is a way to live if you change your heart? What is the root cause of all the problems and the disease that humans have? The heart. The heart. When our hearts are broken, when we leave God and don't live according to His word, all of our problems are meant to be for us. But when our hearts are at peace in Jesus, all things are meant to be blessed. When the Lord rose from the dead, what were His first words to His worried and fearful disciples? Peace be with you, John chapter 20, verse 19. Even to Thomas, who did not believe in the Lord's resurrection, his first words were, peace be with you, John chapter 20, verse 26. Did not the disciples, having received peace, cast off all the fears and the doubt of the world, and boldly testify to the resurrection of Jesus and the gospel? You can see that God, Jesus, is like a guarantee to His disciples. John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do I give to you? Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. If we ask for just one thing that we should have, it is peace. In Greek is eidene, above all else in this world. When we have Jesus, the Lord of this peace, in our heart, He gives us peace. Whenever and however we need it, we have nothing to worry about. I'd like to read the 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace Himself is continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. But if we do not repent, if the peace of Jesus does not settle in our heart, then all kinds of evil thoughts take over our minds, so that the evil that defiles a person comes from our heart and is always in our mouth. This is why Jeremiah said, "The heart of a man is deceitful above all things and desperately rotten." You can find out Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. And the Lord speaks of 12 things that come out of this deceitful and rotten heart. In the Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, Jesus said, "Far from within, out of the heart of a man proceed the evil thought, for fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of the covetings, and the wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within heart and defile the man. When all these unclean things occupy our heart, how can there be any peace in our heart at any given moment? All that comes out of our mouth is always against God. That's why God says that guarding our heart is of utmost importance. And according to the Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." When we guard our heart with the word and the prayer to prevent anything unclean from entering, we are empowered and blessed by God to enjoy internal peace. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 11, talk to us, "The Lord will bless His people with peace." As people get older and grow old, they naturally worry about how they are going to support themselves in the future. They're in the right time, right? They're in the end of the right time. They diligently save money to prepare for their old ages. They are not rich before God, but they begin to be rich for themselves, and when they see that they have saved a little, they rejoice. And on the one hand, they wonder, "Who will take it from me?" They are worried that someone will ask them for money. What does the Lord say about such people? He says to those who store up wealth to themselves and are stingy with God, that their wealth does not guarantee life. You can find out Luke chapter 12, verse 15. On the other hand, does it not say to those who are blessed with peace, "Do not ask what you will eat or what you will drink, nor be anxious for your life," in Luke chapter 12, verse 29. When you are blessed with peace, your mind is at ease. The gratitude never leaves you, and you don't set your mind on abundance or scarcity of this world's possessions. And the Apostle Paul said in the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many riches, as having nothing yet possessing all things. The Bible says that all problems and disease begin in our heart. And Proverbs chapter 14 verse 30 clearly talked to us, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. When we become envious or jealous, we lose the peace that gives us life, and we lose the energy and the fun of life to the point of death. I'd like to give you the Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13, and the Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, and Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. They are talked like that. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bone. The spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but a broken spirit who can bear? So what is the most urgent thing for us right now? Is to turn our heart and have a new heart and a new spirit. When we do that, peace will dwell in our heart, and that was today's text is telling us. God says that if we turn our heart, He will pour out a new spirit on us, giving us a new understanding of His word. In the Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23, God said, turn to my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, I will make my words known to you. When you hear words of rebuke, do not feel offended. Instead, pray in faith that they may become grace to your heart, bringing peace and joy to your soul. Then peace will come to our heart, and the joy will rise among us. Amen. So is Acts chapter 3 verse 19. The Bible talked to us, repent therefore and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. To be refreshing is Greek, is anaxesios, which means to be refreshed. When our lips speak honestly before God, God's insides are refreshed when our lips speak honestly before Him. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 16, God said, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak that is right. This means that since the fall of Adam, all human beings have become children of the devil and have no truth in them. So everything that comes out of a heart filled with lies is bound to be false. However, when you repent by believing in Jesus Christ and having the Spirit through, work spirit of truth in our heart, so that truth comes out whenever we speak, God is so pleased with us. In fact, how much does our conscience get wounded whenever we speak or think falsely? If we don't even have this sense, we have become people whose conscience has been seared, abandoning the truth. God, who searches our heart, knows that whether truth or faulty food dwells in our heart, even without our mouths speaking. Although everyone is deceived by a lie, the hidden lie must be exposed, and God is never deceived. When the lie is exposed, the liar must bear the full responsibility for it. And the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Didn't King Hizkiah also feel the joy of the peace through repentance of his sins? Hizkiah was sick and dying, and God sent Isaiah to him, saying, "Settle, make will, all the affairs of your house, for you are about to die." Then Hizkiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord. You can see that the 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 3, is how he prayed. He prayed to God, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with the whole heart, and have done what is good in thy sight." And Hizkiah wept bitterly. And he prayed, "God, please remember me." Meanwhile, Isaiah had just finished speaking God's word to Hizkiah and was about to leave the palace courtyard when the Lord gave him Isaiah command. He told him to go back to Hizkiah and tell him that God had heard his prayer and seen his tears, and he would hear him, and he would prolong his life 15 years. You can see the 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5 to 6. And here's the prayer that Hizkiah prayed to God after he was healed. And you can see the Isaiah chapter 38, verse 9 to 20. I let just only two verses, 9 and 15. I let read verse 9. A writing of Hizkiah, king of Judah, after his illness and recovery. And I let 15. What shall I say? For he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I shall wonder about all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. The words all my years because of the bitterness of my soul are an expression of his humble devotion to God and his diligent service to God in the time allotted to him. He realized that by repenting through his sickness, he had been delivered from the pit of destruction and thrown his sins behind God's back and had been declared innocent. He was overwhelmed with gratitude to God, realizing that all of this was done solely to give him peace. May we who should be living to praise God be like you and me, who believes that when we repent and turn from our heart for living in sin and against God's expectations, God loves us no matter what, makes us his sons, and gives us true peace. Hallelujah. God loves us to the end. He does not want one soul to fall into sin and be snatched away by Satan. It is not in God's heart to trouble us with the troubles in our lives. In the Lamentation chapter 3, verse 33, you can find out that he is a God of grief who brings us repentance so that no one will be lost. I'd like to read the 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. But that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance, for you are made sorrowful according to the will of God, in order that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. Hallelujah. God rejoices over the repentance of one sinner more than the rejoicing of the 99 righteous in heaven. You can see the Luke chapter 15, verse 7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. May we all turn to the word today, and may you and I be among those who do and may we enjoy eternal life. Hallelujah.